the Charlotte Hornets are looking for their next head basketball coach. A friend, Kanata Edwards, at Not of the Scribe on Twitter, I'm sure has thoughts. I saw where Lindsey Harding, former Duke star, a former number one overall WNBA draft pick, who was the coach of the year in the G League for the Sacramento Kings G League affiliate. She is on the interview list. What say you about this?
I hope she's not a gimmick, quite honestly. I think she's a very accomplished coach. She has spent, she put her time and she's grinded in Sacramento, and she's even had to coach in Stockton. Stockton, California is one of those places you don't really want to go unless you absolutely have to. And she put her time in, and she's done a lot of good things. I think she is a very qualified candidate. The question that the question that needs to be answered, quite honestly, is do you want to risk your career on a team that's gotten 50 games out of LaMelo Ball? Brandon Miller looks like he's going to be something, but also Mark Williams hasn't played. And, oh, yeah, you still might need to sign Miles Bridges, too.
There's a lot going on. You and I were going back and forth about this yesterday. There's, and these are not the same situations, but in the National Football League, for a long time, and even to a very large extent today, black head coaches were not getting the plum jobs. You were not getting the Giants. You were not getting the Patriots. You were not getting the Cowboys. You weren't getting one of those jobs. You were getting the Houston Texans or the New York Jets, right?
Or the Raiders,
and you were not getting time. You were getting a year, you were getting 2 years, and then you were done. I wonder if it would be the same thing, or could it be that if she is legitimately good to do this, that it would just take a lot of guts for somebody to say, you know what, we think she's the best person for this gig.
It would take a lot of guts, but I would also add this. It would take a decent amount of structure. And that structure, I'm not sure the Charlotte Hornets currently have right now. Are they in the process of building the structure? Absolutely. But we're also talking about a team that, when they did this coaching search 2 years ago, had the guy back out of them, Kenny Atkinson, quite literally in the 11th hour.
Yeah.
And then have to go back to old friend Steve Clifford, who was the only guy probably willing to take the job at that point, because that the worst kept secret in the league was that Jordan was selling at some point. And it's funny that we're talking about this, because the reputation that this franchise has right now, would they be best served possibly by hiring a Lindsey Harding? Possibly. But at the same point, I'm not sure that for her career, it's not better to hold off, get in the first row of coaching when Jordy Fernandez eventually gets hired by one of these teams, get some more Mike Brown seasoning, and she's better off in a better position than probably even Becky Hammon was by doing this than taking the Charlotte Hornets gig, where if everything goes wrong, and again, you look at the history of the Hornets, it might be 2.5 years and she's done, and then she's probably not coaching in the NBA anymore.
Not of the Scribe is joining us here. Kanata Edwards here on the Adam Gold Show, CBSSports.com. It's obviously going to be a risk, and anytime you take a job, and there aren't a lot of great jobs available, which is why they're available. The Charlotte Hornets is not a plum job. Let me ask you about another job. Did Doc Rivers make the Bucks better?
I don't think that's a situation you could bring in Phil Jackson from South Dakota somewhere.
Right.
And I'm not sure that you can fix that. That is a fundamentally flawed team, if we're really honest.
Right.
Damian Lillard has issues guarding the point of attack. You have Pat Bev that's supposed to be there to help fix that, but it comes with its own little issues.
Yeah.
You have Giannis, who for the last, three postseasons has picked up some sort of injury that has gone from either debilitating to at minimum hampering him. And then Brooke Lopez is Brooke Lopez. Chris Middleton plays less games than either Damian Lillard or Giannis at this point. That is a disaster, and it makes me wonder, and I think me and you had this conversation off wax, why did Doc even take this job?
Yeah.
Because this was one of those things that you couldn't win. And quite honestly, he would have been better served to go stay on that ABC ESPN sideline, do his announcing, and play golf and collect $3 million rather than deal with what this mess is. And now you're just going to only ruin your reputation even further.
And then he's also been taking shots from J.J. Redick.
basically everybody that's ever like played under Doc has thrown out those shots either publicly or privately. And no one expects much of this team. And quite honestly, I don't blame them.
Yeah, they fell below the Knicks in the Eastern Conference standings. Somehow the Knicks got to the 2 seed, even in the wake of the injury to Julius Randle.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the play-in tournament. I want to ask you also about Tyrese Proctor. Do we think differently about the Knicks? I kind of half-joked about 2 months ago that I thought the Knicks could win the East. How do we feel about them now?
If Randle was healthy, I'd feel a lot better about them winning the East. I'll be real with you.
Right.
I think they are very good. I think they win at least a round. I think no matter who comes out of that 7 spot, whether it's Philly or Miami, I think the Knicks dispatch them. I think it's a lot quicker if it's Philly because I don't trust Embiid's leg. Plus, I don't like the depth over there.
Yeah.
But if it's Heat Knicks, and we get one of those old school 1997 type matchups,
well, I don't want to watch
in the
that.
First round. Like, I think we're going to, we might get a 7-game classic out of that.
Yeah.
And I'd be intrigued. I know you don't want to watch. I'd watch. Everybody would watch. You'd be the only one that wouldn't watch, Adam.
No, I don't want to watch basketball played in the 90s. That was my issue.
Well, it's not necessarily played in the 90s. Like, you still have Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And Spo plays modern basketball. Whether Tibbs coaches that way,
no,
that's TBD.
Yeah.
But still, like I think the Knicks getting there all depends on who they play. Because if you get a 7-game series out of Miami, and let's say you win that, even if you're facing an Indiana team that likes to get up and down, you just played 7 games with the Heat. It's going to feel like 9. So it's going to hamper your ability to get to the finals. But at this point, like, I'll ask you this question. Does the Boston Celtics look like the most fraudulent 64-win team that you've ever seen in your life?
They look like the same team that we've watched in the playoffs the last several years.
Yeah.
I think they're a beatable team. I think they're beatable. They're great. But I think they're great and at the same time beatable.
Very.
So I think anybody could come out of the East. I still think the Knicks have a good chance. I really do. I think the Knicks have a good chance to come out of these.
I agree with that, yeah. But at the same point, like, we both know this. No one's beating Denver if Murray and Jokic are healthy.
Right.
The finals are the Nuggets Invitational. It just depends on who's going to be there on the other side at this point.
All right, well, I think there are roadblocks in front of them, too. Kanata Edwards, Etnada the Scribe, joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. And I think the biggest roadblocks might be the least expected team at the beginning of the season. My kid follows the league in terms of its players more, you know, far deeply than I do. And we have both been like, man, Oklahoma City just might have something. I think they're dangerous.
I want to see what happens when they have to go up against big with physicality and the refs aren't calling anything. I would agree with you that they have something. I think SGA is special. I think Jalen Williams is a top 25 player. Chet Holmgren might be a top 40 player. They have nothing but depth in it.
Yep.
All they're missing is the center. They just need one guy that can bang 15, 20 minutes, and I would feel so much better about them. But the thing that I worry about with them is that when Jokic realizes it's time to turn it up to 10, is there anyone that can provide any sort of resistance? And right now, I don't think they have that. If you tell me it's just Jokic and like Michael Porter Jr., okay, I can give OKC a shot. If you're telling me, though, that Murray, Jokic, Porter, again, Porter all there with like some form of Christian Watson, Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, I still think it's Denver, and I think Denver's going to end up romping them, even though it's going to be a very educational series for everybody involved.
All right, we don't get Warriors Lakers in the play-in tournament in the West.
Yet.
Right, not yet.
Not yet.
If the Lakers go to New Orleans and lose and the Warriors beat the Kings, we will get Warriors Lakers. Are either of those teams, though, threats?
No, not really. Like, at this point, when you are sitting Steph Curry in a game that could get you up to 8, could get you 2 shots at a playoff spot, when you're sitting all your guys for that, that tells me you're not really a threat. You're worried more about winning the 2 games and actually having 2 actual shots at it. And the Lakers, like, I like them, but if they get Denver, like, what are we talking about here? like that's 5 and done at best.
Yeah.
If they get OKC, they may stretch this to 6, but even then, someone's going to have to tell me who's guarding Jalen Williams in that series, and after that, who's covering the shooters like Isaiah Joe. And, oh, yeah, there's the whole D'Angelo Russell thing where do you really expect him to show up in the playoffs? There's a whole lot of questions about the Lakers that aren't going to get answered in the next week or two. So I don't think they're threats. It's nice to consider them threats. It's nice, again, it's nice to be considered, period. I'm glad they're probably going to be in the playoffs, but they're not, like, it's a participation trophy. Congratulations for getting there. But, please collect your door prizes and then go home, please.
Yeah, I also, I'm curious what the Clippers look like when the lights really go on. I have no idea. They've had so many injury issues, but they might be the most dangerous floater in the West.
That 4-5 series of Clippers Mavericks might be the most interesting series, because that's the team that if you're Oklahoma City, I'm not sure you want to go see Dallas. Dallas is hot. Dallas has a lot of pieces to them to where they're going to make a lot of teams uncomfortable, even Denver in small spurts. But at the same point, you're talking about Kyrie healthy. You're talking about Luka, who's on one right now.
Right.
You're talking about PJ Washington, who fits in. Gafford. You're talking about, Olivier Max Prosper, who's coming along very, very slow. Like, that is a very, very incredibly dangerous team. And they're the team, like, if you tell me the biggest threat to Denver is, it's probably Dallas at this point.
Kanata Edwards, at Kanata the Scribe on Twitter. All right, let's close on this.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese Proctor announced that he was coming back. We don't know the status of Jeremy Roach. I think Jeremy Roach is going to come back. I assume Caleb Foster will also return to Duke, although anything can happen, right? And Foster might look at Proctor and Roach both being back as not conducive to him taking another step forward, even though he looked like he was playing very well until the injury at the end of the year. I think that the pressure for Proctor is really on this offseason and how he transforms himself as a player, both physically and mentally, heading into his third season. He never thought he would have a third season. I'm not sure he thought he would have a second season, and now he's going to have a third. What are your thoughts on Tyrese coming back?
I think it's very interesting, and I also get to break something on this show. Caleb Foster just announced that he's coming back.
Good.
So that is an incredibly crowded backcourt, especially if Jeremy Roach comes back, which I don't think he should. At this point, Jeremy Roach has shown just enough to where you're going to get selected in the second round of this draft because it is that shallow. If this was a normal draft, I would tell him, come back to school or hit the portal. At this point, for Tyrese Proctor, this is his, like, make-or-break moment, because if he doesn't perform this year, it's not going to happen for him at Duke.
Right.
And that's when, and me and you had this conversation while you were out, while we were both out in Phoenix. I thought he should have left. Me and you both thought he probably should have left. I still don't understand him coming back, because at this point, there had to have been another spot to where this works better for him. And right now, for me, Tyrese Proctor doesn't necessarily fit in there when you're talking about bringing back a Foster, when you have Cooper Flagg coming in, you have Isaiah Evans coming in. The bigs are a work in progress. Like, I personally don't understand. Like, I would have tried the Caleb Foster at the one experiment personally, right, because at this point, you need more shooting and you need roster spots, because the one area that Duke really needs badly is a nice veteran big, a Cliff Omiyori from Rutgers or something like that. I hope it works out for Proctor, but I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't work out for him.
No, I wouldn't either. I thought he could go sign in the NBL, in the Australian League, play a year there, basically in anonymity, and then declare for the NBA draft, as kind of a rehabilitated player once everybody sees the tape. But now he's going to do it in a more difficult situation, I believe, under the brightest lights, because you're playing at Duke.
Like, I would have found, honestly, I might even gone to Arkansas. I would have probably gone, I would have transferred out, gone to play with Cal, gone to play with somebody else, because as much as I respect Shire's system, I don't think it does well to hone in on the point guards right now. He's still got to work out the point guard play with what he wants to do. And for Tyrese Proctor, a guy that needs development,
yeah,
he might have been better off just transferring out to Fayetteville, go play with John Calipari for a year, let him rehab your stock, or better yet, go out west, go play with Eric Musselman, go do something else other than be the starting point guard for the Duke Blue Devils, because quite honestly, I'm not sure it's going to be the thing that works out for him because of his skill set.
Kanata Edwards, my friend, at Nada the Scribe from CBS Sports. I appreciate your time, my man. We have playoffs starting tomorrow night. It's very exciting. We've got NHL play. I'll talk NHL playoffs with you whenever you want.
Absolutely. I mean, come on now. Like, I know we can't root for the Rangers. I can't root for the Rangers, but again, I grew up. Again, 94 was a seminal moment in my childhood.
Yes.
So, again, I will always forever love Mark Messier and everything else like that. So we will talk NHL playoffs, but we also have to commiserate over the Mets and the
I can't yet. I'm not there yet. I have a lot of hurdles to get over before I even pay attention to what they're doing in Flushing.
Well, that's probably for the best.
Yeah,
that's probably for the best.
I've seen the newspapers. All right, Kanata, I'll talk to you later, man.
Talk to you soon.
You got it.